can find John chapter 8. So John chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 5. And hallelujah. Electricity is an interesting thing, isn't it? Has anyone ever seen it? You've seen it? Electricity. Well, lights are really the effects of electricity, correct? It's not really a trick question, but electricity is not something that we can just say, oh, there it is. Right? You can't see it. How many of you have ever smelled electricity? Smelt it? Smelled what?
Kind of like an ozone smell.
An ozone smell. Never been that close to the ozone. Let's see. Asher, can you go up to that light plug over there? Just give it a nice big sniff. What's it smell like? Anything? No. No ozone? All right, now hold on. Since you're my son, go ahead and just stick your finger in it. All right, maybe your belt thing would do better. No? All right. So you can't see it. Can you taste it? You're done, thank you. I don't need you to lick the light thing. You've done it? So you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it. Electricity is strange, isn't it? Can you feel it? That you can say yes. And it kind of feels like the ozone. I had to get something to get y'all laughing, so we'll thank David for that. And he knows I can pick on him. You may not know I can pick on him, but I can pick on him. You cannot. Okay? Is that right? Is that what we figured that out? Electricity, though, when you think about it, it's not something you can see and say, oh, there it is. It's not something you can taste and say, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. It's not something you can, you know, see or smell, but it is something you can feel. And we do know that electricity has an effect, does it not? I mean, we have lights in here this morning because of electricity. We have air conditioning this morning because of electricity. When the power goes out, the lights are out, the air is out, and before too long, most of you will be out. Amen? To go somewhere where you have electricity. Now, some of you, maybe a few, can remember a day where electricity was not something that was common. It was something that was still, you know, maybe starting out, maybe as children, you know, grew up in a home without electricity or without running water or indoor plumbing and those types of things. And we very much appreciate the modern conveniences, don't we? And we really take them for granted in life. But this morning, I'm thinking about the song that we used to sing, and I really don't understand why we have so many children's songs. Now, you know what I mean by this. You know, we have so many children's songs that we call them children's songs. And you know what I mean? Songs that children sing, right? Like, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. I don't know the rest. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. See, you know it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Aren't you glad that you got to be adults and Jesus no longer loves you? Right? Because that's a children's song. No, that's a people song. Amen? It's a people song. Here's another one. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But I'll be patient just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. Is that wrong? You can fill me in later. This is all impromptu. But he's still working on me. Aren't you glad when you became adults he stopped working on you? I mean, y'all are perfect. Some of you didn't even know it. When we go, when we say, oh, that's a children's song. Man, I'm just going to tell, I will be the first to admit, God's still working on me. I have not arrived. Then, of course, we have this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. Yes, I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You see, we say, oh, that's a children's song. Aren't you glad that when you became adult, you didn't have to shine your light anymore? Children's songs, they're wonderful for adults. Amen. I want to talk about this little light of mine. You want to know why? Because Jesus did. Amen. When you see in Matthew chapter 5, start there, would you please? Matthew chapter number 5. This little light of mine. Verse number 13, Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the side of a hill cannot be hid. Neither do children light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before children that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. David, is that right?
No.
It's not right. Yours doesn't say children.
No.
Chloe, that was right. David's wrong a lot. It doesn't say children. Does anybody say children's there? So, neither do men light a candle. How many of you says men? Neither do men light a candle. Let your light so shine, in verse 16, before men. You see, this thing of light and this thing of candles and this thing of being a witness for God is not just a children thing. It's a people thing. It's a Christian thing. Whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old, you have a light. You are a light. Jesus talked about it here, and he said it's not something that we're to hide. It's not something that we're to put under a bushel and not so anybody can see. But no, the purpose of a light is so that we might have light. Turn over to John. You should hold your place there in John chapter 8. Jesus said in verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself? Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then they said unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. God, as we get ready and prepare for these next couple of weeks for neighborhood Bible time and our vacation Bible school, Father, may we just get to the place that each one of us allows our light to shine brightly. Father, we live in a bleak and dark world around us. And Father, may this church of people, this congregation that you have called together, Father, may we bring for this week all of our lights together that it would shine so brightly throughout our community, that lives would be changed. May it be something that is contagious, something that can be caught as we teach it. God, help us in all of this as we just spend a few moments reminding ourselves about what you have done in our life. And I do pray and ask all of these things in the name of your Son who died on the cross for our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So in Matthew chapter 5 and then in John chapter 8, I want to kind of compare these two passages here and make a few contrasts and about this thing of the light. So in Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount, it is Jesus who said, Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Now, he gives us this purpose of the light, and I want you to make note of that. The purpose of the light is to shine. Amen. It's to shine in darkness. Now, we have lights all throughout the room this morning, and if I were to bring in a light bulb and hold it in my hand this morning, I could hold out my hand and I could take a light bulb and I could begin to screw it into my hand, and you would be amazed to see what happened. You would just be simply amazed at what would happen with a light bulb in my hand. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, why is that? Well, I'm not electricity. I'm not electric. Shocking, I know. You get that later. But you put a light in an electrical socket. You go over and you flip the switch and you turn it on. And it's amazing what happens to that light. But what is the source? I mean, if I came over here this morning and did this, all right, no lights for this side. you're in darkness now. The source right here, right? The source of light. Watch that. Woo! Isn't that amazing? I could do this all day, folks. Just watching lights go off and on and off and on. And when I was a kid, my dad would say, leave that light switch alone. And I know some of you are thinking that. Leave that alone. On or off. Make a choice. We'll leave them on. So this is the source of all of those lights, right? It's not a trick question. But this isn't the source. This is an instrument that is used to, really what this is, we call it a light switch. But really what it is an interrupter. An interrupter. It interrupts the electricity going to the light. We close it off. That's what we did here. We closed the electricity. Put it on. The electricity now flows. Isn't it amazing how fast it goes? When we open that circuit and allow it to flow, and the first thing I want you to see this morning is the source of our light. Jesus exposed it to us in John chapter 8 as he said, I am the light of the world. Now hold on a second. Didn't Jesus already say in Matthew chapter 5, you're the light of the world? Well, hey, can I just fill you in on something very quickly here this morning? That the source of our light is the light. Jesus Christ. Now, I know I'm kind of giving you this collation of electricity and, of course, Jesus using a candle here, but I'm trying to make it understandable to what you and I would understand today since we don't light a lot of candles to light our house, but we do flip light switches on and off. And we also have a God who, you know what, we can't see. We can't smell. We can't taste. We can't come in and say, smells like God in here. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I mean that to illustrate a point that it's not like we're just going to come into a room or into a house and say, man, it smells like God's been here. Oh, I thought I saw him walk out. No, we have a God who is invisible to our eyes and to our smell and to our taste. But you know what? I can feel him. Amen. And I'm not talking in a spooky, eerie type of a feeling. I'm talking about God is our source of light. And we can feel Him. When we were doing the remodel in the auditorium, we were changing out the plugs in the wall here, and we, you know, you have breakers that cut off the electricity and all of that, and I changed all of those out, and I didn't know which breaker it was that was turning on and off the switches, so I thought, okay, I've got an idea, and so I went and got a radio, and I plugged it into the light socket for the plug. Over here and turned the up all the way and went to the breaker box and just started flipping breakers. And finally, when the radio went off, I knew, okay, I got it. And so I did that side, and it was great. And then I came over to this side and did the exact same thing that I just described to you on this side. And so I changed that plug, and then I changed the next plug and got down to the third plug there, and everything was going well, and then I touched it. And I thought to myself, well, this isn't supposed to be on. And so I touched it again. And it really wasn't that bad. It was a little tingly. But I thought, well, this is off. So I just kept going. And I just touched one side, you know, and then I made the grave mistake of touching both sides. You know, I got shocked. You see, it's not something that we can see, but it is definitely something that we can feel. And we know when the electricity is flowing because the light is on. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is the light. He told us this. And in the light of His presence, hey, can I tell you, we can have the patience of courage. You know, when the lights are on, Man, there are many things that we can just see everything. We have courage when the lights are on, and I'm not going to ask who's afraid of the dark, but I'm just wondering, who's afraid of the dark? A few of you? Any men afraid of the dark? I mean manly men. Okay, good. You're not a manly man, but you will be one day. As a teenager, raising his hand. Manly man. No, I'm serious. Any manly men, I mean, you're afraid of the dark? Okay. Anybody want to meet me up here about 3:30 in the morning? With no lights on? Any takers? I'm just going to be honest with you. When it's dark in here, and I'm talking like dark, dark, it can be intimidating. I mean, I'm not scared, but I'll tell you, there's times where I've rolled up in here at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I look around in the dark to see, is there anybody here? You know, walking from my car to the door, it's like 10 steps, and I prepare for these things because it's dark and I can't see. Never one time have I pulled up 2 o'clock in the afternoon worried about walking from my car to the door. Just haven't. You know why? Because I can see. Come on. But there have been many times, middle of the night, it can be a pretty scary thing. Light allows us to be courageous. Now, I know this doesn't make sense to some of you, because you would think, well, the real courage comes from walking in the dark. No, we call that stupid. Okay? We don't call that courage, because you can have a light. You have the ability to light your path. And you walk around in the dark long enough, and guess what? You're going to get hurt. Come on. Now, you might get hurt in the light too, but the chances are greatly increased when you're roaming around in the dark. And I'm talking utter darkness. I'm talking no moon, no stars, no street lights. You know, I mean, you can see a little bit of light, but I'm talking utter darkness. You will get hurt, and it won't take very long. But Jesus allows us, being in the presence of His light, allows us to have that patience of courage. Hey, can I tell you that it's in the light of His presence that we have the privilege of prayer? Look, we don't get to come to God in prayer without being in His presence. And in His presence, there is light. Because Jesus said, I am the light that lighteth the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And Jesus reveals to us in this source, He is talking about God. And in the light of His presence, hey, we have the peace of God as we rejoice in Him. And we have these things within this source of the light. And in the light of His presence, we have the power to witness for Him. There is a reason that Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Just as Jesus said that He was tapped into the source in God, we are tapped into God's source through Jesus Christ. Amen. And He is that source of our light. But I tell you this morning, there is a secret to keeping the light brightly shining. Now, I don't know about you, but I like good light. I like to be able to see. Amen? You know, don't give me a 10-watt bulb. I mean, make it 100, 150, you know, something that when I turn the lights on, I can see. I like some of the new LED light bulbs. You know, you've got the soft light and the bright light and the daylight. And I'm like, give me the bright light. I put some in Abigail's room, and she's like, Dad, this is awful. I'm like, man, this is awesome. You know, she's like, no, take them out. It's weird. And I'm like, but you can see everything. That's the kind of light we need. Amen? But there is a light that we can dim. And sometimes in our lives, spiritually speaking, we dim our lights. I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as you consider what is taking place in your life. And I want to ask you, what wattage would you be if you had to place a wattage in your life? What would you be? Now, the most common, I think, is a 60-watt bulb. Now, there are some smaller, there are some larger. And so my guess is most of you would say, I'm good with 60 watts. That's average. That's right in the middle. You know, you got a 40 watt, doesn't give off as much light. You got 100 watt or 75 watt, and those just give off way too much light. Nobody wants too much light. So that 60 watt, man, that's right there. Right in the middle. Just kind of average. And that's fine in all of that, if that's what you're wanting to be, is average. I had a professor in college that described to me average. I always strive to be average in school, and I didn't learn this till my junior year of college, and I thought, man, I wished I would have known that when I was like in kindergarten. But he said this. I'd never heard this before. And he said, some of you want to be average. And he was going off on this thing, and he said, I don't know why anybody would want to be average in their life and make average grades and be an average person. He said, all you are, if you're average, is the best of the worst and the worst of the best. And why would you want to be either one of those? I thought, thanks. Why would I want to be that? If we compare it to maybe some scripture here this morning, didn't God say in Revelation to the church at Laodicea, I'd rather you be cold or hot, not lukewarm? You know, lukewarm, kind of in the middle, kind of average. What is your wattage this morning? Are you dimming out? Was there a time in your life that your light was shining a whole lot brighter than it is today? Are you dimming out? You know, there is a secret. There are some things we can do to keep our light brightly shining. And I want you to see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse number 12, the Bible says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord, that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. All right, now, think with me here. If Jesus Christ is with us, we're in the main source of the light, and from His light, we receive light, and we give light from His life. From His light, I should say. So what is this secret of keeping our light shining brightly? Well, in verse number 13, he says, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. The first thing that if we're going to keep in the light and our light brightly shining, we're going to have to be at peace among ourselves. I'll tell you, there's nothing that will dim your light faster or my light faster than discord and disharmony. discord and fighting and not having at peace with one another. Because again, if we're at peace, there is nothing faster that will flip this switch off and dim our light than discord in our lives. Amen. You know it's true. There's nothing that will dim our light faster than not being at peace. And notice it says peace among who? Among yourselves. So that means we've got to include ourselves in this thing. That we must be at peace with one another. Now he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. How can we be at peace if we're warning? Sometimes the warning keeps the peace. Amen? It keeps the peace. But warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. So he's giving us things that we're to do here. He says, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. I'll tell you, there's nothing that robs our brightness as quickly as discord and as quickly as impatience. It just dims our light. Now, there are times in my life where, man, I get impatient. I admit, I can get impatient. But when I do, it's not helping my light shine brightly. As a matter of fact, it usually dims it. Sometimes it interrupts it very quickly. Impatience. But he says, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now I want you to notice real quickly here who Paul is talking to in this letter of Thessalonians. He's talking to a church at Thessalonica, saved individuals. Now we would all agree that within the brotherhood or in the sisterhood, in the Christian church and community, we should all get along, right? I hope you agree with that. I don't want to have to start all over again, but so I hope you're on board with that. But notice this. This doesn't say to the brethren or among yourselves. This says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. This is talking about those that are saved and those that are unsaved. We're not to get even. Oh, I'll get them back. That's what we say. They don't know it yet. We may say to somebody, oh, you won't see it coming, but it's coming. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And when we do that, oh, it just cuts our light right out. It dims it. No effect. It's like screwing that light bulb into your hand and saying, hey, I got a light here. Here's my light. Well, it's not lit up. Well, that's because I'm going to get you back. No. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You want your light to shine brightly? Learn to rejoice. There's a secret. Learn to rejoice. Learn to pray. He says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, he says. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Everything that's questionable. Everything that robs God of His glory. Everything that keeps others from seeing Him in you. We're to stay away from. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Can I tell you, it's not about you, it's about Him. Why? Because it all goes back to the source that we need to keep tied into, that we need to keep in our lives. Someone once said, it is not tragedy in the life of a Christian that causes one's light to shine. It is how we respond within the midst of that tragedy that causes our light to shine brighter. You see, we must see Christ. If we're going to get tied into this, we must be tied into the source, which is Christ Jesus. We must see the awfulness of the sinful flesh that you and I have. We must see Christ. We must see the awfulness of sinful flesh. We must see the greatness of salvation that God imparted to us. We must see it. We must see a lost world. We must remember and see the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that one day all men will stand before God. And I'll tell you, when I stand before God, I'll give an account for how brightly my light shined. I'll give an account for the times that God prompted me to witness to somebody that I said, no, I'm too busy. Or the times that God prompted me to witness to somebody that I said, oh, I'll do it later. And later still coming. But the people are nowhere to be found. Yes, I'll stand before God for all of those times. As will you. But can I tell you, we shouldn't have to have, listen to this, we should not have to have a prompting of the Holy Spirit to get us to witness to someone. We already have a command. Amen? We already have a command. Most of you have children in the room today, and you have children. I'm assuming as parents, most parents have this rule that or did when you were raising your children, but their room had to be clean, right? I mean, you need to have a clean room. Anybody not have, oh, who has that rule? Got to have a clean room. All right, good, good, good. Who had that rule when your kids were at home? All right, good, good. Now, sometimes they needed prompting, didn't they? And they do. Get in there and clean your filthy room. But they shouldn't have had to have that prompting because it was already a rule. You've got to keep your room clean, right? Everybody with me? I mean, it's not something that they should have to be told each and every day, go clean your room, go clean your room, go clean your room. Witnessing to people is not something that the Holy Spirit has to prompt us to do because He's already commanded us to do it. We ought to just do it without the prompting. Oh, you know what that means? I'm going to be held accountable for all the times that I didn't witness, that I should have witnessed, that I could have witnessed, even without the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I'll give an account. Oh, yeah. We must see these things. And when we're not witnessing, I'm just going to tell you, here is what we do. I don't have a bushel in here this morning, but we take our little light and we light it and we're walking around. And when we're not witnessing, we're just taking a bushel and we're putting it around it so people can't see our light. Now, Jesus said, no man would do that. No man would do that, put it under a bushel and not have that. And here's what we do, because again, we don't have candles, we don't have bushels. No, we just black out all the windows on the house. Because we don't want anybody to know that we're home. And usually when you see lights on at the house, that means somebody's probably home, right? But we black everything out because we don't want anybody to know we're home. Wouldn't that be weird? I mean, wouldn't you just, if oh, don't let anybody know we're home. Black out all the windows. Somebody drive by, man, that house is always pitch black. I don't think anybody lives there. No, I saw somebody leaving that house the other day. Oh, wow. They must just live in the dark. No, they're just hiding the light. The question this morning is, are you hiding the light? Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. It's not just a children's song. It's a Christian song. This little light of mine Are you going to let it shine? You know, we do this little motion here. You know, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Is that what we're going to do? Or this? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus is the source of the light. There is a secret to keeping it shining brightly. It comes from obeying His word, being in His light. What are you going to do with it? Are you letting it dim? Are you dimmer than you were yesterday? Brighten it up.